Welcome to the Student of the Game Fire Podcast with your host, Danny B. Today's guest is Russell Smith, 17 years of combination experience, a captain on Engine 1 with Morsel Fire Rescue. It's very easy for a company officer to talk about expectations and not execute. I've been fortunate to witness firsthand how putting words into actions leads to building a crew that actually wants to show up to work, train, run calls, and overall just get good at the job. Captain Smith said it best in his interview. The job is much better when you're good at it. With that, I present Mr. Russell Smith.
All right, so my name's Russell Smith. How I got into fire service is unique in its own way, but nothing special. I'm a first generation. I never had anybody in my family in the fire service. I do have an uncle who's on the volunteer side of things that was in as I was growing up. But in the neighborhood I lived in, there was a bunch of volunteer guys, and seeing them run up and down the road was something cool to see as I was a little kid playing in the yard. And you know, 9/11 happened in 2001, and shortly after that is when I kind of started to spark that interest. So when I was a junior, I joined as a junior when I was a freshman in high school and went out to the firehouse not far from the house. And from then on, it was something that I found myself, I couldn't see myself doing anything else. Mm-hmm. School was never a big hit for me. So it's changed now, but the fire service before was you get your certifications and you can go straight to work.
Right.
I didn't have that intentions to go to college. I didn't have anything in mind that I wanted to do. But as I came up through high school and being around the firehouse and seeing people work at municipalities and just getting my hands on it, sparked that interest and that just kept on going. And it was at that point in my blood. I did that all through, like, just volunteering through high school. And then after, I actually got all my certifications leading up to the age of 18. Back then, you could do that kind of stuff and hit the ground running as soon as you were done. So once I turned 18, I moved down to Ocean Isle Beach. I did 2 years. I started my paid career there. I did two great years there as a firefighter. But coming back home, home was where I wanted to be. And where at Mooresville, where I work now, is I've been there for 15 years. And that is something special to me. It's something that, my entire family has grown up living here, which is unheard of around here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really special and to my core of where and why I wanted to be here. So yeah, that's kind of nothing crazy, but that's kind of what started and where I started and where I'm at now. So,
okay. All right. So, needless to say, it's probably really important that you have, with the amount of family that you have in Mooresville, you expect a certain type of person to respond to their incidents where they're actually going to treat that emergency like it's their emergency.
Absolutely. And that's my, when I sit down with individuals that come to my shift, that's an expectation bar none. I mean, that expectation is, yeah, I live in the city that we work in. My grandmother lives in this city that I work in. And a lot of my friends and family growing up still live in the city. So that's why it's even more important to have that mindset coming in daily and how we, when we go to these calls and treat individuals, that we're treating them like they are my family. So it's very important. And that's one of the expectations that I front load to the individuals that are working with me day to day.
Okay. And with that, with the expectations that you set, it's also probably very important that not only do you speak it, but you show it, right?
Yeah, for sure. And that's something we try to do daily is getting out and doing a simple drill. If it depends on, obviously time can get away from us easily, but if it's going out and walking some buildings together, or if it's going out and stretching some lines together, throwing a ladder together, doing mask up drills, all those things are, we're doing those things together. And I went to a class before, and it was a guy who he led, he's in the Navy and, or excuse me, the Air Force, and he was a leader amongst many, and he had a way of coming up with a leadership motto, and that kind of cheesy that I come up with in class, but it was relationships through work and being able to build and gain that trust with the individuals I work with, and building those relationships further than just being surface level is all doing that through work and getting better together and allowing us to be the best that we can be. All that comes with doing the work together. So, and that all is built on that mindset and really putting our first or our best foot forward and being the best that we can be for sure.
Okay. And so within coming through the ranks within Morsel, I'm sure you've seen your fair share of leaders that you should emulate, leaders that you didn't want to emulate. So when you decided to take that step to become an officer, what kind of leadership role did you want to hit from the ground running?
So I we've had our we have our fair share of good leaders, and we have our fair share of bad leaders. And taking those things from each individual and learning from them is very important. It took me, honestly, where I'm at now was never in my cards when I first started. I never had the goals of being a captain. I just wanted to be a fireman. I want to ride the bag and be a fireman. And as years have gone by, it has allowed me to learn the job, be very good at it, and keep trying to be better and study and respect the job. Taking those nits and bits from these individuals that I've have been my captains or leaders allows me to build who I am and the culture that I try to build. And I think each of those individuals in their own way were role models of me, even in the bad things. I can find how I can maybe be better, and even in the fire service today, it's different because you've got individuals from all different backgrounds. It's they've come from different types of jobs. They're not just firemen, kind of like when we first started, everybody was a fireman that came on. So learning from each individual has been very eye-opening and really shaped who I am today as a captain.
Okay.
So
Okay. And with that being said, this is a new question I've been asking people. So, what's your definition of professionalism?
Professionalism in itself, it's funny, our battalion chief the other day, we were out back just shooting the shit, and we talked about being serious on the job and being professional. We want to be paid professionally, we want to be viewed professionally, we want to be treated professionally. But a lot of times, even down to not, we don't even look professional at times. Like one of the things, and some people might think it's kind of bullshit, but like even as simple as wearing a golf shirt or not having your boots tucked in or your pants tucked into your boots, like those things, all that is being professional. We are professional firefighters. We get paid to do what we do, and the expectation of the citizens are very, very high. And we're not in a job that can come in and fuck up and then they're paying us daily to do what we do, and they expect high, and it's something that we should be doing on a daily basis, is being professional. And that's something that I harp big time with the individuals that I'm around. It's something that I try to not only just talk about it, but be about it.
All right.
So that's professional to me is very, very big, and I think that it's an expectation from the citizen.
Okay. All right. And with that being said, you mentioned earlier that you never thought like, hey, I want to be a company officer. I want to be a captain. But what internally sparked that drive to say, you know what? I'm going to try to go for it.
So my I did at Mooresville, I did 8 years just riding the back of the truck. I had didn't really care. I had good people around me. I didn't care to move up. I didn't necessarily see the potential in myself. I met my wife, and my wife said, if what are you doing? Like, you need to, she saw that the passion that I had, she saw the potential in me, and she was like, "You got to get going. Like, we got to move up the chain," because she saw that in me. So, to be honest with you, it was all my wife that that pushed me to that, at least that first step, moving up into that senior role, and really allowing you to kind of dabble in the next step of becoming that driver and that senior guy, really started to spark that interest of, okay, I see this. I know there's leaders along, no matter what rank you are, but I could see a little more opening of the door, a little more. You can only do so much when you're leading more from the bottom, if that makes sense. So it allowed me to see that, which then sparked me to move on up to driver or engineer. And that's really when it hit me, because you really get to, you become that driver, but you're also that relief officer when the captain's off. So being able to make those decisions, and at that point, you kind of, in the respect of the officer, you have to kind of tiptoe around. You've got to stick with their beliefs. You got to stick and support them and what they believe. And you can't, in a way, you can't go too far outside of their realm.
Right.
So that really, I was only a driver for, I think, 2 or 3 years, because I saw that leadership aspect. I saw that the reach that I could get in being a captain really, I really saw the light and allowing me to become the captain, and even further as I grow throughout my career. But honestly, back to the long story, or long answer to a short question, my wife really sparked that interest, and then from that point forward, I could really start to see the potential in myself and the reach that I had as I grew up or moved up into the ranks.
Okay. I can't, I, there's no rebuttal to that answer, because I myself can say the same thing. Like, you don't really see your full potential until you meet somebody that sees what you should be. Like, they have that belief, and it just gives you that extra, like, oh, okay. So, I mean, like, as you stated, for me, like, my wife, she'll kick me in the ass, like, what are you doing? Like, stop doing that. And pretty much like grow up, you know what I mean? Like, be a man and go do what you got to do. And it sometimes it takes that little nudge. So I totally understand you.
And it's up to people like you and I that have that mindset to get into those positions to truly make a difference. We've all in the ranks, no matter where we are or where we've been, we've able to have that outreach, especially with a department our size.
Right.
But to truly, I think, make an impact, especially as we grow as a department, it's being in that leadership or officer role, I just think takes it to a whole nother level. So it's people, we need to kick you in the ass and we'll get everybody there and get the right people in the right spots to make what we want and make things great where we work.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm working on it. Working on it. I
Yeah.
gotta pass that damn test first, but yeah. Okay. What does the term aggressive mean to you?
So aggressive to me is that mindset, is that having the right attitude. It's an attitude of wanting to get better. It's an attitude of really value what you do, to study, to make yourself better, and to also respect the job. Because I kind of knew you were going to ask this question, and I've reflected on it. And if I look at a group of individuals, and I can tell people or individuals that have the right mindset, people that are into the job, those people alone are going to be aggressive. I can look at the other half of the individuals that aren't into the job, that are just hanging out. They're here for a pension or a paycheck. They're not into the job. They're not making themselves better. When the bell hits, they're not going to be aggressive. I know that by just looking at them. I know because by looking at them and their actions and the way they operate, their mindset's not there. They're going to be sorry on the fire ground. They're not going to be aggressive. They're not going to run to the truck. They're not going to have the hustle on the fire ground to make things and put things in place, being aggressive. And honestly, to me, when we're good, if you're good at this job, it's a lot more fun.
Right,
Like if you just
right.
sit back and you just kind of bullshitting your way through the day, and you're 15 years in, and you don't care, and you're just here, and like, yeah, it sucks. It's not going to be fun. But being into the job and having that mindset, getting better at it, it's a lot more fun. And in a sense, it's going to make me more aggressive. I know because we study, or we look at videos, or we go off of experience. We know how things are going to react and how things are going to happen, so we can safely be aggressive. So it boils down to me, being aggressive is having that mindset, an aggressive mindset, and
Okay.
being into the job.
Okay. All right. And I will say that's one of the reasons why I wanted you on here because, I've said in other interviews I've had, like, I am a quiet individual, depending on who I'm around. But anyways, I'm most of the time I'm a quiet individual, but like I'm always watching like people. So I will say, with the fire department, man, it's like high school. Everyone wants to talk shit. Nobody really wants to get to know people, but the times that I've been timed out to work at your station, the way you have your new guys, I'm talking like brand new firefighters, the way they act, the way they respond, how they hustle to the truck, like that's how it needs to be. And of course, you're gonna have your individuals that are like, well, psh, whatever, like that's just fluff, it's bullshit. We don't need to run, we don't need to hustle. And I don't know what happened to that individual that has made them that way. I truly believe like complacency has made a bed in our department. And I'm not trying to talk down about our department because complacency is everywhere, but it's been harvested in our organization, and a lot of guys don't really see it. If you call them out on it, they're gonna get mad at you. But like if they can truly step back and look at their actions. Like if they get a call and, well, shit, instead of going to the truck, I'm gonna go pee first. Hey, hit that en route button for me. Like that's complacency. Telling your other firefighters, well, it's not our emergency. That is such bullshit. I'm
That
sorry.
drives me nuts.
Like that is bullshit. You sign up for a job where you inherit that individual's emergency. That is your emergency. Stop micromanaging people. Stop dictating how they should respond, slow down. Like, if you're not in that position, control the iPad, listen to the radio, do your thing. Let the guys that are actually in that role complete that role. So, just by working with you a couple of those times, just seeing how, like, this is how we're supposed to be. I know this is how we're supposed to be because I've seen it and I've talked to so many other individuals, and it's like, this is how it needs to be. Tones go off for a box. Yeah, it should be a race of who can get there first. Of course, safety wise, yes, you got to be, intersections, things like that. But having damn, trying to think of the word. Having that competition of getting, of making sure, like, hey, we're not getting beat in. We're gonna do what we got to do. Like, that's what this job is all about. And yes, a lot of people aren't, and you know it. Like, there's people that talk shit about you, but you don't care. You continue to do what you're supposed to do. And I find it funny because we had a call a while back, a possible box at a laundromat, and like, we got on the truck, we were going up the road, and all of a sudden you're like, engine one's on scene, and the comment was made, how the hell do they get there fast? And I'm like, it's because they hustle. They don't walk to the damn truck and just nonchalantly put on their shit. Like, they're on it. So you, and I don't care what anybody else says, like, you might not make an impact on them, but you definitely have an impact on the younger generation, your crew, and definitely people that are like, we have that same mindset. We want to be aggressive. And so that's why I wanted you on here, because like, it's not just talk. Like, you have your crew, and I'm not saying like, like they fall in line, but like, from the get-go, putting the stuff on the truck, saws are being ran, medical bags are being checked. You guys clean a station together. Like, that's what this is about. It's about teamwork and providing that.
Well, and you talked about complacency, and that means there's no heart, there's no commitment. And that's what we got into this job for, is to be committed to the mission, putting the mission first. And that's when every time I've gotten a new individual, I sit them down as a group, as a shift, and I'm also sitting them down one on one. I'm front loading them with all the expectations. And honestly, my expectations are simple. Like, it's the mission first. It's how we operate on the fire ground, and it's being that truck. I kind of hope that I think when engine one arrives on a scene, chief's saying, "Oh hell yeah, shit's gonna be good." Where I know that if stuff's gonna get done the right way, I'm gonna call on engine one, and we're in an awesome time with, I think it's a lot across the fire service as a whole, but our department for sure is like, you look at, we just did counter picks, and you could see the list of the time frame of our department, and a lot of people, almost 50% of our department, got less than 5 years. So for us to change that culture, if I instill this mindset and these expectations and that culture to these individuals, it's only once we start weeding out those certain individuals, this culture is going to be awesome. And hopefully, and I honestly do think, because there's been times that we have beaten individuals in their own first due, and I love it, because I hope that maybe it'll spark a little fire in their ass to get out of the chair a little faster, to get down the fire pole a little faster. Like, all those things, those being the best that we can be, taking care of each other, turning out fast, putting the citizens first is simply my expectation. All the other things that come along with it, like cleaning the firehouse in the mornings and making it good for us, making it being professional, like all those things, the public's coming into our building. If we have a sloppy ass firehouse, then that simply alone looks unprofessional. So if we have our shirt untucked, and honestly, I think a t-shirt looks like shit. So if we have all those things that are unprofessional, all those things come along with that aggressive mindset that we have, that I've tried to instill, especially to, I have three brand new people in a sense. They all have less than 2 years. If I instill that in them, and they move on. Hopefully they continue to with that same mindset, and we just continue to bleed throughout the department and make things better. But front loading that expectation up front and trying for us to be the best truck in the city, that, and I firmly believe that. Just, and I'm going to always have that mindset and really instill that. And if individuals come to me, let's say they've been here a while, and they come to me, and honestly, they're going to hate it because I'm going to continue to instill that mindset. And maybe some individuals that only have 1 year on the job are going to outperform these people that have been here 15 years because they suck ass, you know?
Right.
So that's what I hope for, and hopefully continue to push forward, and hopefully it just, I can only control what I can right now. So I'm hoping that eventually starts to bleed as we grow as a department and we continue to build that culture that we're looking for.
Love it. And I think you're right. I think here within the next couple of years, you know, some people will be reaching that years of service where they can bow out, and then hopefully we are replacing them with individuals that are kind of like us in a sense where like we get what this job is, the mission and things of that nature. But you know, I've also seen you learn from what you've been around, you know what I mean? So like if you've had a company officer who hasn't really gave a shit and you decide, hey, I'm gonna kind of move into that role, there's a good chance you might emulate exactly just that. And
Absolutely.
hopefully you can we can weed that out and put people in the right positions that actually want to make a difference.
Absolutely. Very true.
Let's see here. While we're running, I'm just gonna hit on the leadership topic. So what does leadership look like to you? Outside of you being a company officer, of course.
Leadership in it is, and as a whole, is just creating an environment where people want to be. It's an environment that people want to come to work, and fosters that growth for individuals. And like I said before, I mean, any rank of throughout the fire service can be that leader, and foster that environment that people want to be around. If you're, and it's hard. I mean, if you're bitching all the time, or if you're a slug, or you're not being a part of the crew, people don't want to be around that. And that, to me, is fostering a bad work environment. So leadership in itself is just the opposite of that, and really creating an environment that people want to be around. And it's important. It's important for each person to foster or to have those characteristics. And honestly, each person needs to go out and prove themselves and stay away from that complacency. It's hard. It's very hard. But if you have a good work environment, it just all trickles down and is all part of that group of the mindset and being aggressive and leadership. It all falls under that leadership and the style that you're around.
Okay. All right. I'm going to switch a little bit of gears here. Recruitment and retention. What do you see fire departments doing that work, and what do you see that the fire service can improve on?
Recruitment's tough right now. Recruitment is, there's so many jobs out there that allow people to go and make more money than what we make. There's a lot of, but I think what we have going for the fire service is that culture that we can make it. It's something that you could come into work and you're going to do something completely different every day. But as far as recruitment, it's all fire departments are pretty much offering the same thing.
Right.
Pay's the same. We all got fire trucks that look the same. We all got, some may have better training facilities. Some may have better, a little bit better pension. But at the end of the day, we're all the same damn thing. So recruitment in that nature or in that sense is difficult. So we have to find things. The culture itself is really what is important to bring people in. If I'm on the outside looking in and I look at these different departments, where I may want to go is, well, it's not pay because we all make the same thing. It's not the fire truck because we all have the same fire truck. It's what do I view their culture and how is that something I want to be around? And there's a lot of departments around here that have that outstanding culture that people honestly leave more pay to go to because of their culture. So I think that's what we've discussed it in the past, but that's what is important to really drive and harp on is working on our culture to allow our recruitment to be better than others. And we can sit here and we all want that duffel bag of money, but that's not at the end of the day, that may or may not bring somebody in because we've got I think we do need to work on our culture as a whole.
Definitely.
So that's as far as that's my view on recruitment and even retention is you build that culture, it even makes it hard to leave that culture.
Right. And would you say, in your opinion, culture? I truly believe like culture starts within your firehouse, but at some point too, culture starts at the top. You know what I mean? Like expectations need to be said how the head honcho in charge, how he wants to view the department, it's got to trickle down.
I agree. And like you said, we can control, like I control my tomorrow's shift, the five people that I work with. And we're working on as a firehouse culture. So maybe bleeding off to the other two shifts in within my firehouse. But I will say for things to be kind of held accountable or for things to really put that foot down and really hold that standard is it does have to be defined and it has to be defined from the top to allow me as a company officer to have more of a backbone, if that makes sense. Because I can only do so much if the mission or the culture is not defined. Or how we want to be looked at as a department. So I can only control that. But if it's defined at the top, I think it would allow us to become the culture to be better faster, if that makes sense.
No, I'm with you. And you mentioned the big word, another big word, accountability. Like we're all accountable to ourselves, but at the end of the day, with a department our size, we know who's accountable and who's not. You know what I mean? Like it's not a secret. When you hear a certain name, you're like, oh yeah, well, not a shock. And it's just because that they've gone on for so long without really any repercussions. And it's just like, maybe they're just like, we'll just wait for this person. They'll be leaving it within a year or so. But to me, at the end of the day, they are still affecting the new people coming in. Those new people are seeing, like, well, this person has always done it this way. So why do I need to change? Like, and to me, that's the part that I think frustrates people like us with the mindset that we have. It's like when we see that this person day in, day out gets away with, as I would say, like gets away with murder and there's nothing ever done about it. And it causes frustration for sure.
And I'm sure that's probably everywhere. I mean, like
Sure,
you said,
sure.
we've talked about recruitment retention. We're all the same and we all do the same things. There's shit everywhere that no matter where you go. But like if there's an expectation that the department holds, the standard is up to me. The standard is up to me as an individual to maybe make myself better. And if I'm around those individuals that, like if it's, let's just say if it's a two-piece house, I'm gonna make them uncomfortable just because they're going to see us go, go, go all the time. They're going to see us trying to make ourselves better and holding ourselves accountable. It's going to make, in a respectful way, it's going to make them feel uncomfortable because they're going to see all this and they're going to eventually reflect and look at themselves and hopefully then make a difference. So I think that's what we can do is just continue to push forward, continue to have that mission first and have that standard as an individual, even if the expectation as a department is a certain way, to just make those individuals uncomfortable and hopefully become better.
Yeah. Okay. All right. What kind of training do you got? Now, of course, you know, I know our organization, we have an awesome training facility, but minus that aside, especially with the fact that you have three new members, what kind of training do you try to give them on a daily basis? Realistic training.
It's sometimes can be difficult. I really try to. So when we do like engine stuff, for instance, with the recruits, I really harp on like a playbook. It allows the individuals in the back to make a decision without me telling them. And it's going back to that mindset. It's having that vision and being able to make a decision on their own by knowing what's on their engine, what they're capable of doing. Whether if it's a small stretch, small fire, or if it's a big stretch, small fire, and what they're able to do and being able to see those. So things that I try to do with the newer individuals and even myself, we go and we'll walk through buildings or we'll do pre-incident surveys and not just walk through it and put things in the system to make our lives better on a fire alarm. But let's talk about, all right, well, how are you going to stretch this? What are you going to do if you have this showing or nothing showing? What are you taking? Really, honestly, a lot of the stuff that we do hands-on stuff, but a lot of the stuff is just making you think and allowing you to make that decision no matter what, where you're at on the truck and to get shit done. Like just the other day, we were out at a building and we went through scenarios and we talked about, all right, well, you've got nothing showing, what are you taking? All right, well, what if you find fire on the third floor? Or do you have what you need? And then it allows us to just think and talk about it and work through it and maybe determine maybe we should take something else. And even I think it's been easier for me is having those, we don't have department writing assignments, but I do have writing assignments on my truck because that's one less step that they have to think about. Because I'm really harping on them making a decision because I'm going to do a size up and I'm jumping out of the truck and I may be on Charlie's side before they're looking for what to do. But they can make that decision based off what we've talked about and discussed and gone over without me telling them. Then we're getting stuff done and I'm meeting them at the front door because they've already done what we talked about. So having that assignment or that writing assignment done before the shift even starts allows them to not have to worry about that when the bell hits. Oh shit, what am I doing now? And then have to think about what they should be doing. So that also helps with that pride and that culture of if they've got nozzle today, then they're making it exactly how they want it. They're making sure the ears are where they want. They're making sure their can's full and charged. If this line looks like shit, then they're coming to me to tell me, hey, I'd like to take this off because it doesn't look good. If they've got tools, they're going through their motions of, all right, my tool's where I want it. It looks how I want it. They've started their saws, their ladders where they want it. All those things are put into place. And that's really what I harp on with newer individuals, really getting in that mindset of making their own decision within reason. If there's a reason that I feel that I need to say, hey, we're stretching off the rear, it's an extended stretch, then I'll make that comment. But they should, and I feel very confident in the three individuals I got running back to be able to make that decision on their own based off just having that time together and going out and looking at these buildings and basically having, I mean, it's not all about going out and getting your hands dirty. There's times that we do whiteboard stuff, just allowing you to think about things. So that's really what I do is with newer individuals, just getting them in that thinking mode and making their mind think of, and it might be 2 months before we go to work, but every day they come in and we say it every shift, I'm feeling it. We're burning one today. And that just fires them up. That gets them in that mindset, ready to roll, making sure their stuff's ready to roll. And I think it helps them and allows them to get into that rhythm of doing things daily.
Definitely. And also too, with your crew, the ones you have riding in the back, that's the future of the department. So
Absolutely.
you're already setting themselves up. You're already setting themselves up for success as they like as you move on and they come up, like it's like, hey, they're gonna just continue what you pass on to them. And that's where I think complacent, lazy captains forget. Like people those rookies, those the new people we have, and we have a lot of new people, they are seeing how you act, what you do, and it's gonna reflect. They're gonna reflect. Not all of them. Some of them might be like, hey, this ain't right. But a majority of it, like, hey, my officer before it, that's how he's acted. So I can act like that too.
Right. And I hope that these individuals, when we talked about earlier how you kind of build your leadership and how you see yourself as an officer, you learn from these individuals, the shitty ones, the good ones, and the mediocre ones. I hope that those individuals learn from the ones that they're with that are complacent, that don't have the heart, that aren't committed to the job. Hopefully they learn what not to do. And I hope it aggravates them to a point that when they do move on, that they move on to a better place and really push the next person to be better. Because unfortunately, as a new firefighter, I think it would be hard to change that person's mind. But you have to be committed, you have to be all in as a firefighter when you have that situation. To continue to push daily, to continue to make yourself better, and hopefully in time, after doing your time, you can be in a place that you want to be at, and move up the ranks, and then make a difference yourself. As far as we talked about that expectation and holding that standard, you hold that higher standard for the people that you're with.
Definitely. Okay. All right. Next question is going to be, I'm gonna not fluff it, but I'm gonna go first because like I like to be truthful, I like to be transparent, and definitely talking to so many other individuals, man, like it's out there everywhere. So like I'm gonna put myself out there first. I love this job. When I got into it, I wasn't into it as I am now, but I still respected and understood the assignments and the roles. And it's only as I've gotten older, it's only that the passion has only gotten more and more and more. I'll say that to say when you love this job and have a vision of how people should be, how people should react, you tend to get frustrated when it doesn't go your way. And so I'll say, there's been times where I've looked at leaving, meaning like the entire field, the entire fire service, and then I've also looked at other departments. And so I want to ask it because I know people within our organization could be like, well, this question wasn't asked, and you know how they freaking go. So there've been a couple times you've tried to go to a larger organization within North Carolina, of course, and people that know you are going to know it. So what kept you, I don't want to say what kept you, but like you never obtained it, but you also never let it stop you from being the person that you are today in the role that you're in.
So I will say you're right. I did attempt to go somewhere else, and it's almost like whatever you believe in, but it's like you're put into places where you think or for a reason. You're put into places for a reason. So when I was looking at leaving, I had said in my mind that it was the last time. And that last time, I honestly didn't even finish the process. Discussion with my wife, we go through a different season in our life as far as a family. And but it allowed me to understand that where I'm at is a good place. Where I'm at has great potential. And it allowed me to, because as I was trying to go somewhere else, maybe my heart and my mind wasn't 100% where we're at now or within that department or our department. And I reflect back to that, and I hate I went through that stage, to be honest with you. But it allowed me to, once deciding to stay, and really, that's when I started to promote. That was that time frame discussing with my wife of what we found was most important, what was important for me as in the career, what was important for our family, and still having that passion, but really pushing that passion and that commitment forward and really moving up into the ranks and really trying to make that difference, having that bigger reach, and really pushing the my passion to the other individuals around me. So that honestly, it's nothing crazy. It was just the season of life we were in. But it's a blessing that I am where I'm at, because even now with kids and all, like it's awesome to be able to be in the same work in the city that I live in. It's awesome to be able to have the family come up. And if I were to have gone somewhere else, I wouldn't have that privilege. I wouldn't have had the things that I have now being where I'm at. Yeah, maybe my pocket would be a little bit deeper or something. But at the end of the day, we talked about it earlier, they've got the same shit that we do. They've got the same issues. They've got slow trucks. They've got shitty firemen. They've got complacent people that, trust me, I know several individuals at this place that I was trying to go to, and they've got firemen that suck too. So it's a blessing. It allows me to, I do think I'd have a little more reach, a little more, not seniority, but a little more opportunity to make a bigger difference and impact where I'm at now. So I do think I was put in this place, and I'm starting to see that it was all for a reason. And hopefully it just continues to prove to me that reason of why I'm where I'm at today.
No, I'm gonna agree with you, because like it's easy when you get the thanks but no thanks, or you didn't make it. Like I know for me, the couple times I tried for two different departments and it just didn't work out. You look at it as a failure then, but now it's like, well, maybe, like you said, maybe you're put in a spot where it's like, just hold on. You know what I mean? Like you always hear, nothing lasts forever. The way your department culture is now, you just got to take some time. Things will change. Hopefully, as time goes on, like other factors will change, your circumstances. But I wanted to ask you, because like I said, there are firemen out there who are there are firemen right now who are listening to this that are, are possibly thinking like, I don't want to stay here. Now, there also comes a time where if you can't stay there, you can't stay there. You got to do what you got to do. But like, it is okay to me, there's nothing wrong with exploring your options, and you'll, at least from my experience, you'll hear people that have successfully moved on, and people are like, oh, well, they're just a traitor or whatever, or the grass isn't on. You know what I mean? It's just like firemen tend to just, they can be assholes, and it's like there's no reason for that, because I think we've all been immature. But the whole fact of, I think when you become a spouse and then you become a parent, all that starts changing your mindset towards the positive. And people always want to harp on the old version of yourself, but they don't see what you're doing with the new version of yourself, and
Absolutely.
it's fucking frustrating.
And people's egos get in the way, and And when you talk to people, I mean, the people that care to you and the people that are the true good people, even looking at the people that I know in the city, they don't give a shit where you're doing it at. They know me. They know that I'm gonna, if they would take me on their truck today, probably. But it's the ones that have that ego, honestly, they probably ain't worth the shit anyways. So ego is, and honestly, I mean, we've all had that ego of, and it gets in the way at times. But like you said, being able to mature, to learn from that, and really putting the effort into where you're at can really make that difference. And I mean, like you said you looked at going somewhere else. You looked at leaving the job as a whole. But the things and the way things have worked out, you're doing what you're doing, you're making a difference, you're talking to these individuals, and a lot of people have been in the same boat. So you can take that and learn from it and really try to make an impact where you're at. And I think it has changed your perspective and it's changed mine as well, as we mature and as we continue to grow as an individual and really try to make the place that we're at better and better every day that we go in.
Thanks. Okay. All right. Wellness and truly being there for one another. I can say outside looking in, granted, we work for the same organization, but we're not at the same station. The fact that, and I'm not sure if it's your idea, but it's still the fact that, you guys have changed the culture of Station One where like every year you guys hold a Christmas party. And it's not like you get five or six people to show up. The pictures are usually very large in family size. So what does actually like bringing that together look like and mean to you?
So we started that 3 years ago, and like you said, it's been awesome. Like we've got three good captains, we've got three good shifts, and we don't have the bickering back and forth in the mornings. We don't have the bullshit of all C shift did this, A shift did this. It's we just have a lot of like-minded individuals. And really setting that mindset for the ones that are just coming in allows that to bleed and really build our culture at Station One. Like you said, everybody has showed up to that Christmas party and brought their entire family. Because we truly enjoy being around each other. Most of the time we're showing up early to have coffee in the mornings around the table up front. Like we've really have started to build a culture there that I hope and continues to improve, continues to build that pride of Engine One. I give the same speech every year at the Christmas party. Like we are the best firehouse in the city. Everybody else can believe what they want, whether if you're specialty or not. But right here, we get work done. We don't bitch about it. And we're the ones that people want to call upon. And even in the mornings, like you talked about cleaning in the mornings. Like, if let's just say our shift before us was up all night and the kitchen was a shithole, like, we're not going to bitch about it. We're just going to clean it. We're going to make it better and we're just going to do it. That's not that right there in itself is pity bullshit that creates that poor mindset. It's what people don't want to be around. It's the opposite of that leadership. It's building a firehouse that that environment that people don't want to be at. So if we can get all that out of there, close the door on that, and be positive and come in, and it just bleeds, man. It's awesome. I'm really enjoying where we're at, the people that we have, and hopefully continue to build that and bleed out to other firehouses.
All right. And last question I always like to ask the guests, where would you like to see yourself before you hang it all up? Whether position, life, the floor is yours on that.
So, this one, picturing myself down the road is always difficult. Like I said, told you before, I rode 8 years in the back of the truck, had no intentions to move up among the ranks. But as I have gotten into the position I'm in and seeing, we talked about the people that I can control in a sense, and the way it bleeds out just a little bit, I really hope to see myself in the next 5 years or so potentially being that a battalion chief, just because that battalion chief, maybe my hands can reach a little bit further, and maybe I grab a hold of three or four firehouses and bleed out to that, and then those three bleed to the other three. So I could see myself into that rank, even before. I never could care less to teach, but teaching has slowly become, I've been pushed through, even through our training chief, to get outside of my box and do things that I didn't want to initially, has really sparked that interest is into training. So potentially even down the road, I would say most being training chief at the most, but definitely battalion chief. I think having that reach a little bit further would be huge as far as building culture for sure.
Okay. All right. Like I said, that's your goal, and I have no, there's no rebuttal to that. Like that's why I always like to ask the guests. But I really want to reiterate why I wanted you on here. And like I said, you know as well as I do, there's going to be individuals batting their eyes like, what the fuck ever. Well, obviously he doesn't have any taste, but until they can actually come and watch how you guys operate as a shift. To me, the things that you guys do, it's important. It's important to build that camaraderie. You know, you're cleaning, you're vacuuming, you're mopping. It's not, hey, point, do this, I'm gonna go do paperwork. You are actually partaking in these activities. You guys wanna run calls, you guys are hustling to the trucks. And it's easy for anybody to say, well, they may have to do that because that's where the Chiefs are at. I guarantee if the Chiefs were not there, it would still be the same way.
Absolutely.
The Chiefs aren't there after five, and you guys still act the same way. So that's bullshit in itself. But me coming in as a floater sometimes to drive you guys, like it's awesome to see, and I really wish more crews would act like that. And I get it. I'm on A shift, so I don't see how C shift and B shift operate. But I can tell you, if we had more individuals and more crews that responded and acted like that, like there would be no room, no time for bitching. There'd be no time for us to eat each other. Like, you know, we're eating our own within the department. And the crazy thing is, we have such an influx of new people. The people that I don't even know some of these people's names, because it's like I'm just like morning, and I don't know your name because shit, we're just hiring all these people.
Right.
These are the ones they're going to see how we do things. And so if we keep leading them down a shitty path, they're just going to pass it on to the next place and we'll never grow. But
Absolutely.
I think with the soon to be in the next couple of years, the ones that are set in their ways, they'll be leaving out, and hopefully we'll be replacing them with good individuals.
Right. And like I said, mission first is that mindset that I try to build. And doing that, it's in itself. If we all take a look at, oh, we're going to walk to the truck or whatever. But if the bell went off and that was your address, you're gonna run. And to me, it just blows my mind, and it drives me nuts because I see it daily, whether it be with other individuals in the department, or if it's EMS, or if it's the way things are dispatched. Things like that just drive me nuts because at the end of the day, when people call 911, it's their emergency. We might think it's bullshit, but it's their emergency. Whether if it's just somebody that wants to talk to us at 2 in the morning, because we have those. If it's somebody that has, I talk about it a lot with my wife. Her brother passed away of an overdose, and really not giving up on people. Yeah, well, we go to this same guy who's overdosed 3 or 4 times, and we're just pushing Narcan, and this is bullshit. Like, this guy did it to himself. But that's we could be that rock bottom. That last time we pushed that Narcan, that could be their rock bottom, and we make a difference in their life. So, with that mindset of making a difference and putting the citizens first and not giving up on people and being there and for the individuals for exactly what they pay us and exactly why they love seeing us come down the road in the parade and they think we're their heroes and all this mess. Well, we got to live up to that mission, and harping on that daily is important to push people and to keep people into that mindset.
That's 100%, man. And you know, this is the only profession that I know where we can literally burn somebody's shit to the ground, and then the next day you're getting like cookies or baked goods brought to you. It's like, thank you for what you did. And at the end of the day, like we got to start thinking. And I tell people this all the time: our time is coming. The way our area, the way they're putting these subdivisions up, these homes, the influx of people moving in, the fact that Mooresville was just rated number the fastest growing city in North Carolina. I keep harping on it, and people just keep, they just like, they'll blow me off, or the ones that do are the ones that are just complacent. But that your day is coming. That Super Bowl call will come out, and when that call comes out, that's not the time to figure out if you can do it. You know what I mean? And it's just, I just don't understand people who are okay with that. Like, oh, well, whenever it happens, it happens. It's like our accountability, it's coming. Everywhere you go, people are filming, man. You show up to a structure fire, there's a camera being, you know, out there recording things going on. So I don't understand it, but like I said, I appreciate individuals like you. I like to give people their flowers, man. I'm not a fireman that just, like, I'm not gonna talk shit about you. I mean, I'll talk shit about you if you're fucking bullshit. Like, I'll just tell you that to your face. I don't really care. But like, it's individuals like you and your crew, you know, what you're promoting me and what you're doing. Continue to do what you do, Russell. Like,
I
seriously,
appreciate it, Danny.
we need that shit. We need more of it. And we have the select few number of people that I know, like, that have that same, no, we're gonna get after it. And I think if we can weed out the ones that don't, like, it would make our department a lot stronger. But I just want to say thanks for accepting the invite.
Well, I appreciate you having me. What you're doing is awesome. It's great. It's good to have those conversations to spark that light in yourself and other individuals and making a difference. So I appreciate you having me for sure.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, Cap.
If any of the listeners out there are or know of a great firefighter who embodies the principles of being a great communicator, goal-oriented, hardworking, humble, passionate, and professional, regardless of rank, career, or volunteer, contact me at studentofthegamefirepodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, stay focused, stay committed, and stay safe.